Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on a Fan Friday. I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. Ben, we got a lot of stuff to cover on this Fan Friday. Not only do you guys out there kill it with the questions, but we got to fit our top fives in too. Normally we won't do this. Normally we'll have the top. We'll have like a whole podcast devoted to our top five as we're going through every position through our summer scouting series, looking towards the 2020 NFL Draft. Normally, we're going to be doing this on a Thursday, but because it was a short week, we're cramming it into this Friday. So I don't want to waste too much time on the intro. Ben, how are you on this Friday?
Trevor, I'm here to tell you, every day is a good day to be alive. It's especially a good day.
Don't know about that.
It is. Listen, first day of the Women's College World Series, Trevor.
Listen, brother.
One of my favorite sporting events of the year. Florida's about to lose, by the way.
When Florida, yeah, but we're recording this on Thursday, so... Ben just revealed that the show is a giant farce and it's actually not recorded on Friday. So it's
I tweeted this morning, like, it is Fan Friday at like Thursday at like 10:30 a.m. And I was like, well, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. All right, so top five quarterbacks. We ran through, I think, 15 of these guys, about 15 of them. A lot of names to just at least know, get on people's radars. Let's start with, we'll go back and forth. You start with five and go all the way up to one, and then I'll do the same. I'll go from five to one. So you start with five, kind of just like talk a little bit about each. You can just go boom, 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 and keep going if you want all the way to five, and then I'll do mine.
Okay. Five, Utah State quarterback Jordan Love.
Okay, I did not even watch him. So he's in your top five? Right. Damn.
Yeah, because I forgot to tell you about him. I told you about him late, and that's on me.
Okay, all right. What do you like about him? Some things? Anything?
Oh, I didn't know if we were going back and forth. Okay, yeah. No, as I talked about with Love, I think Love makes some really exciting touch throws, some really exciting natural arm throws that you see on Utah State tape that is irregular. That is like, you know, you circle that and you say, all right, there are NFL caliber quarterbacks we've seen come out who really don't have this sort of a throw in their arsenal. Love gets the advantage of having a lot of first read open window stuff, but he still shows the ability to drive the football into the sideline and attack tight windows on deep comebacks and back shoulder throws. So you like to see that a lot. Requisite size, requisite mobility, requisite arm strength. So we're checking all the physical boxes. What's he going to look like in a new system? How controlled is he under pressure? Can he operate the pocket with sequencing his footwork, his rhythm, his drops, so on and so forth. But Love is I've been kind of in this hive now since I saw him last year. I think Jordan Love is a good player.
All right. We'll go back and forth. I like that idea because it'll just break it up a little bit. Five for me, Stanford quarterback KJ Costello. I don't hate him, man.
He's six for me.
I really don't. There's a lot of throws that I watched from him when he made them in 2018 that I went, God damn, that's an NFL throw. To the sideline, back shoulder stuff. Yeah, he has a lot of things to go over the middle, but I'm not going to like penalize a guy for that. Really, what I'm looking for, especially right now, going into a guy's final year, do I see glimpses of NFL moments with this guy? And then again, how much am I going to see it in their final year, which is going to be this in 2019? And so I thought I saw a really decent amount of NFL things from KJ Costello. So he's my fifth guy.
He's six for me. Like I said, he's six for me, so I respect that. I'm pretty sure I know who's six for you, which is going to be a problem when we get to it.
But, yeah, you do. Yeah. Yeah, you do.
All right, four for me is Jake Fromm, quarterback out of Georgia.
Okay.
Fromm is a facilitator. He's a distributor type right now. You do see things where you wonder about the arm strength driving it outside of the numbers. Mm. And so you'd like to see Fromm improve his intermediate accuracy, his ability to hit placement against tight windows, so that you know he can really execute a West Coast style offense with quick releases and quick dropbacks. Trevor, you scoff at me, sir.
A lot of limitations in that analysis. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. A lot of limitations there. My number four quarterback is Brian Lewerke. Like Brian Lewerke a lot going into last year. We talked about this on the podcast. I believe it was Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we were going through Lewerke and a handful of other guys. There are throws that Lewerke makes that not even Tua and Herbert make. There are touch passes and anticipatory throws that Lewerke makes that nobody else makes. The other stuff around him, a lot of it's not great. I mean, he's got the arm strength, he's got some zip, but like the decision-making, holy cow, brother, just get it under control. Don't be an idiot. That's Brian Lewerke 2019 is don't be an idiot. That's it. But
listen,
often with those kind of incredible throws that you see him make, that comes from this gunslinger mentality where he thinks he can do whatever he wants. And so, fine line there. But that's why he's QB4. I see a lot of talent. I see the high ends for it. I just want him to build off of it. We'll see if he can.
My QB3, Brian Lewerke, quarterback out of Michigan State. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I was kind of a little bit more bearish coming into 2018. And for some reason, 2019, I believe that we'll see the step forward. I'm a believer. Yeah, Lewerke, like you said, again, and it's like I mentioned with Love, he makes throws where you say, okay, that's atypical, that's irregular, and so we got to build off from there. And for Lewerke, it's a lot of stuff against tight windows, which I think is really exciting. Back shoulder, throwing in the red zone, hitting tight, quick closing windows in the quick game. I think Lewerke's really strong at working his pacing, changing his release speed and his arm angle, and feeling those tight windows, dropping the ball in positions where, yes, corners can make plays on it, but he's giving his receivers a chance. So Lewerke's probably always going to be a high-risk sort of a player. That's his style. He doesn't really do what Trevor begs him, which is just not be an idiot. He's got a little bit of idiot in him, and that's okay. He's got a lot of natural talent as well. So Lewerke, last year, you know, we said, like, this, and listen, this guy can push. You know, we didn't really know Dwayne Haskins at the time, but he can push the Drew Locks and the Daniel Jones of the world. I also think he can push the Justin Herberts and the Tua Tagovailoas. He's just got to, you know, tighten things up in order to do so.
QB3 for me.
Cole McDonald,
that's right. Let's ride. Cole McDonald. Trevor. Blonde dreadlocks. Had me right at that, honestly. So I did.
You can't be bad and have blonde dreadlocks. It's never happened once.
I have never made a bad creative player with dreadlocks. Okay, never, not once. Won't happen. Hasn't happened before. Won't happen from this moment on. All right, it's the key to success. When NFL players cut their dreadlocks for quote unquote business decisions, when they go from college to the NFL, listen up. Your agents are lying to you. You're Samson, all right? Don't cut it. Be cool.
You're Samson.
All right. Oh, you're a young football Samson. Believe that when you look in the mirror. Stare at yourself. Say it. Repeat it. Don't cut your dreadlocks. Cole McDonald's my number 3 quarterback. There's a lot of tools about this guy. Now, we highlighted in the episode with him, and I highlighted in my 5-place prospect with Cole McDonald, that this dude's throwing motion is absolutely a problem. Like, it will... I even say in the article, at the very end of the article, this will kill his NFL career before it even begins if he continues to throw the ball the way he does, because he does not get enough accuracy at a consistent level with his throwing motion the way that it is. So if he cleans that up a little bit, because he's a big, tall guy, you know, he's 6'5", so it makes it tougher when he's lanky. If he fixes that, if he kind of cleans it up a little bit, gets a little bit more compact, can feel comfortable with it, this dude's got a hose. He plays out of structure pretty well. I think that he has pocket presence and a sense for pressure that is really beyond his years, beyond the first-year starter that he was last year. Very excited to see him going into to 2019 and seeing if he can have a good enough year to declare and maybe get himself in the draft pool.
Yeah, I mean, McDonald, I wanted to sneak him into the top 5, and I'll be honest with you, I will be the first in line when he has a great season and Fromm starts falling off, say, like, listen, we told you about Cole McDonald. I'll throw that we in there. I'll be like, hey,
okay,
man, we were trying to tell you, Cole McDonald, we talked about him way back in May. You should have listened to us. But no, McDonald's super high ceiling. And listen, at this point in the process in June or in May in the summer, we're allowed to talk about that. We're allowed to say, listen, he's super high ceiling, and let's see what he brings out in 2019. But there's real reason to be excited with him. So I respect it. I respect the gumption.
Okay. Number two for you.
Yeah, and it's Tua and Herbert left for both of us. I think we're going to be the same. Okay, it's Tua and Herbert left for the both of us.
You don't know
that. I
think
we're going to be the same. Trevor. I'm Justin Herbert at QB2.
Big Joe Burrow fan over here.
Please stop. Felipe Franks, QB1. I'm a Herbert fan. I'm a Herbert believer. I thought he made nice strides in the 2018 season. As I said, I thought he could have come out and been a first-round pick. I'm not sure he would have been a first-round grade, but he would have been a first-round pick. Coming back in 2019, he has an opportunity to really put some final polish on there, be super pro-ready coming out, fight for that number 1 overall pick. You know, there's going to be some steps to take there. There's nothing to dislike about Herbert. He and Tua are a clear top 2, and if you had him flipped, I wouldn't mind it. Yeah. But Herbert's QB2 for me.
You can talk about Tua here. You could just talk about the 1 and 2 if you want.
Yeah, and what Tua brings from a mobility and creative perspective is what's going to etch him for Herbert on me. Every year that I evaluate quarterbacks and you go back and you look at it, you know, 2 years back, 3 years back, it just seems like mobility is really a common factor in a lot of these guys who don't bust or outplay their draft position or really, like, you know, provide some value. Well, the thing is that, like,
there's got to be a sweet spot, right? Because if you're too mobile, the NFL doesn't want you, or normally they don't. Right. So it's this, like, weird sweet spot that I honestly think Tua is right in. I think he's in that sweet spot of exactly enough mobility that they want it. Because it's not even, I don't even want to use the word mobility. I just want to use, like, escapability. Like, if you can get yourself out of the pocket and throw the football out of structure and even pick up a couple of yards here and there when there's open space in front of you, like, they want to do that. Like, ideally, I think the NFL wants every quarterback to be Russell Wilson. Now, like, different styles will come in here, but I'm talking about, like, that
the most
kind
anti-Andy Benoit take that has ever existed.
I think the NFL wants their quarterbacks to have the escapability that Russell Wilson has. Whether they are more of a pocket passer or a guy who throws deep down the field, like, whatever they are, they would like for their quarterback to have that kind of escapability and be able to get side out of the pocket and play out of structure. So, like, that's right to his wheelhouse. So I think that he, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so that's why I have him one. I have Herbert two. I don't know. What is it for you?
Yeah, no, it's Herbert one and Tua. Or it's Herbert, sorry. Herbert's two and Tua is one.
Yeah, we should call him Wanna, not Tua. Okay. Well, good pod drive.
I'm going to make you sit here and think about that. I'm going to make you sit here and think about what you have just done.
I didn't even pull a strong, more like wanna Tagovailoa. I can't even, it's not hard to say. Okay, I didn't even do the whole bit. I just hit you with it real quick.
All right, we're moving on to these questions. Those are our top fives. Jake Fromm's not in my top five. There you go. He struggles with accuracy, can't hit places deep down the field, doesn't throw NFL throws. I don't know what you want from me. He's not my top
listen,
five.
He's going to, like I said, he's going to have to grow into a niche where he's more of a
going to have to quick grow
game
an arm
short facilitator type.
He's going to have to grow an arm? Like,
Trevor, we don't disagree on Fromm. I just think that he's higher, like, higher. I don't want
to
say higher.
I've just got
right
the
now,
nuts to not put him in the top five.
Okay, proud of you, buddy. Thanks. You showed me.
Really appreciate it. I saw a mock draft with Jake Fromm going number one overall like 2 days ago, and I was like, you really wrote like 3,000 words after that. That's crazy. Wild.
The thing about summer mocks, baby, is that you can do whatever you want.
I'm going to be angry about him. All right, first question. Trade one, cut one, sit one, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, go.
Whoa. Okay, trade one, cut one, and sit one. I don't even get to play one?
That's the question. It's trade one, cut one, and sit one. But I assume that it's trade one, cut one, start one.
Right.
That's what it's got to be. Because there's no positives here. You're just getting rid of them. Yes.
Okay. Trade, cut, sit. Yes. I'm going to trade Iron Man because he's a locker room cancer. You saw that in Civil War. We saw that in Civil War.
Yes.
I'm going to cut Thor because he didn't hit his weight benchmarks, and so we need him to be in shape, and he didn't come to OTAs, which means I'm sitting Captain America. I know he can take it. I know he's a team player.
Shit, we got the same answer. All right, so switch it up.
He's the only one that makes sense.
I'm going to trade Captain America because he's got the highest return on investment. Okay, I'm getting the most back for him. Yeah. I don't really think I can get a lot back for Iron Man because he's a dickhead. So,
right.
I think I'm trading.
You don't know if he's going to show up. You're
right,
gonna
right,
play.
Right. So right. I'm trading Captain America. I'll get the most back for him. I'm going to cut Iron Man because I can't let my locker room think that I'm not in absolute control. Need him out of here.
Right.
And Thor, I'm just going to start and switch positions. He's going to play like left tackle or something.
Was trading Odell the same as like trading Iron Man? Can we make that analogy?
I mean, the Giants thought that Odell was a giant problem. I don't know how much he actually was a problem because I in no way trust Dave Gettleman's opinions at all.
And then I think Odell's going to go to Cleveland, be very keyed in on showing that he should not have been traded, which I think also would be Tony Stark's response.
With Kentucky putting up 5 draft picks in 2019, the most since 2008, will the trend continue for Kentucky, or is this just a flash for Big Blue Nation.
Oh, is that what BBN is? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's probably just a flash. You know what I mean? I having five players selected is strong. I think Kentucky's defense is going to remain effective. But, I mean, they had multiple players go on day one and day two, right? They have Mike Edwards went, and, yeah, Josh Allen went. So they had two players in the first 2 days. That's irregular for the Kentucky program. I don't anticipate that continuing to be the case. I won't lie to you and say that I know Kentucky's program and they're recruiting well.
Right.
But like, let's acknowledge, you know, Josh Allen, when he was recruited, was not supposed to eventually become, you know, the seventh overall pick.
Was Allen a three-star? I feel like Allen was a three-star.
I think it was a two-star, to be honest. But all I know is he added like 40 pounds. So nobody knew.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. You know, I think Kentucky's certainly on the up. They've been really competitive, not just this year, but I thought last year too against some good teams.
Ooh, and
you
can, two-star recruit, 1 point for Ben.
There you go. You can run that momentum, and so I don't think that this is going to be continuous. Five's a lot for a team like Kentucky, but I do think that Kentucky's on the up, and it's been fun watching them the last couple of years. All right.
What was fun? I watched Fromm against Kentucky, or maybe it was Easton. Yeah, it was Easton, so it was 2016.
Okay.
And it was fun to watch. You could see shades of this defense getting good in that game. You could see some shades of like Mike Edwards making some impact plays and stuff like that. It was fun to watch.
Power rank appetizers. Let's go.
Yo, I'm excited about this one.
Okay, so am I. How many do you have on your list? I thought about this. I researched this.
Right. So I went like five.
All right.
But
I got
like
15.
Six or seven. That's what is it, but this is okay.
I take 15 appetizers.
I take umbrage with this. I'm going to tell you why. Because I love appetizers. And I make a big point of getting appetizers whenever I take the fiance, hello, out on a date. Because
humble brag.
I think it's really fun. Yeah, humble brag. It's really fun, I think, to get appetizers. And it's like not a usual thing that you get to do, whatever. But when it comes to power ranking appetizers, I think we have to be distinct.
You must have not grown up next to an Applebee's. That's all I'm saying.
Well, listen, I have an Applebee's appetizer listed
Half
down
price
here.
Half-price apps was my jam when I was in high school. I can't tell you how many boneless wings that I ate at Applebee's when I was in high school.
Right.
Am I proud of it? No. But am I proud of it? Yes.
Yes. Here's my thing. Boneless wings, appetizer, or food that just can be served before
All right.
other
We've
food?
Had,
That's the
okay,
thing.
I have had this debate with my cousin. I'm just going to call him my cousin. Pat. Shout out, Pat.
Big ups, Pat.
He probably doesn't listen to this podcast. Anthony and
Screw
I,
you, Pat.
My roommate and I would go and get wings all the time. And when they were down, we said, hey, we're going to get wings for dinner. And he was like, okay, but what else are you getting? And I'm like, what do you mean, what else are we getting?
Dude, that doesn't make any sense. And like, wings are dinner.
And he's like, wings are an appetizer. And it was blasphemy.
Exactly. So that's my big thing is like, it's very difficult to say
Boneless
what exactly.
Wings can be an appetizer. And I like wings can too, but I'm just not with the camp. I will fight forever people who think that you can't just get wings. If I'm going to a sports bar and I want wings,
right.
You know what I'm getting? Fucking wings. I'm getting a lot of them.
Exactly.
And it's
going
to be
like,
enough
to
fill me up.
Like, I don't want to eat six wings and then something else. I want to eat 20 wings. That sounds like a better situation.
There's
I don't
no
really care
way
what something
you
else
can
is.
Eat 20 wings.
It's happened multiple times.
All right, the next time I see you, we're going to the nearest sports bar, and we're getting wings, and you're getting 20, and if you don't eat them, I'm telling the podcast.
You're tattling on me to the podcast.
Yes. So I have Buffalo wings in my rankings, but they are boneless wings.
Right.
They're
and
like,
here's
they're
my thing
like
is
boneless
like,
slash Buffalo wings, whatever.
Right. So I tried to keep it tight to just appetizers, and so I like you know like I like used the word mini more than once to like sneak things in there, but
oh,
like I
coward.
Didn't put wings on there
okay
because to me wings aren't an appetizer, but wings would be above pretty much 99.9% of foods.
All right,
on any
let's
list
go
ever.
Whole list, do it, bottom to top. So, bottom to top
number five, mini quesadillas with little dips for guacamole and dips for salsa.
Oh boy, I didn't even put quesadillas in there, but keep going.
Number four, onion rings, specifically if we can get a blooming onion from Applebee's, I'm locked in.
Yikes.
Number three, spinach and artichoke dip. And I think spinach and artichoke dip is a great example of something that is exclusively an appetizer and is literally never, ever served in any other context.
Okay.
It's just an app.
Very true.
Number two, breadsticks, little mozzarella sauce, little Alfredo sauce. I also put mozzarella sticks in this category because they're not really super closely related, but I just wanted to include more foods.
Okay. You should have expanded this list, but keep going.
Okay, number one is mini crab cakes. Crab cakes are my favorite appetizer.
Wow, what a goddamn upset.
Listen, crab cakes are such a good appetizer.
Crab cakes are great!
There's a big asterisk next to crab cakes. You can't be having crab cakes as an appetizer if you are not getting seafood. You are limited in this way. You can't build your palate up with crab cakes. I would say you could probably get steak. You do a little surf and turf situation. But crab cakes, only an appetizer if you are having some sort of seafood-related dish. And so crab cakes are down as my number one, but it's heavily conditional. But I love crab cakes. The ideal appetizer. Appetizer should be bursting with flavor, savory, and relatively small. And that crab cakes, especially mini crab cakes, right there.
All right. All right, you ready? I got a lot of different ones than you did, but I respect the list. Right. 15, bottom of the barrel, onion rings. Not good.
Get out!
Not ideal. Trevor, literally the lowest tier appetizer that you can order.
What? Who hurt you?
Listen, bloomin' onions are fine, but you can't act like bloomin' onions are like the standard for onion rings. They're not.
I agree. I mean, I put them as the best one. I have that condition there. But an onion ring, a well-fried, bready onion ring.
There are so many other appetizers that I'm about to name that I would rather have than an onion ring.
Little Cajun mayo? Hot sauce? It's
fine, dude. Whatever. All right. Pot stickers is 14.
Okay, good.
Loaded potato skins are 13 because they're not good. Where people get this idea that loaded potato skins are good. They're not. If you are looking at a list of appetizers and you land on loaded potato skins, you should go to prison.
There are 98 better ways to eat potatoes than loaded potato skins.
No question. Flatbread is next because, like, I don't, like, just get a pizza for dinner. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. I don't really see the appeal here. Fried pickles is 11. I'm a fried pickles guy. I don't know if you like pickles.
You're a fried pickles guy and they got to 11?
Yeah, I'm a fried pickles guy.
I love fried pickles though. That's a good one. I didn't think about that one, but that's a pretty like appetizer-y sort of like it's in the category.
Jalapeno poppers are 10, and I put jalapeno poppers above fried pickles, even though I love both, because you can do more with jalapeno poppers and they have the kick to them. So I gotta give them the edge.
Okay, I respect it.
Bruschetta is 9. Done well, very good. Fan of all the flavors, can come together nicely, not too overpowering, you're still hungry for dinner.
Yeah, bruschetta's a really good one.
Okay. 8, things with hummus. I'm a hummus dude, so like celery,
okay, wait.
Carrots.
Things with hummus is not an appetizer. Bread.
Yes, what are you talking about?
Okay, like you're saying like pita and hummus?
This one say, yeah, like, right. Like carrots, celery, pita bread,
okay.
Like,
I would argue there's a stark difference between celery with hummus and pita with hummus.
Right, but like often if you order a hummus dish for an appetizer, you get all three, and I'm cool with all three.
I would rather get pita and hummus than all three.
But like they're gonna come on it anyways.
Don't waste plate space on vegetables when you do not have to.
7 is mac and cheese balls. Great in theory, but I don't think many places do them well. So, mac and cheese is an elite food, but I just feel like places don't really do mac and cheese balls.
Right. I can't think about a place where I had mac and cheese balls. Like, you're talking about the fried ones, right?
Yes, of course. Right.
Like, I can't think of a place that's been offered to me as an appetizer. I've gotten them, like, at Sheetz, like, as a side, like, as a snack. But, sure. Like,
well, that's kind of, I guess, like, the same idea. Number 6, loaded fries. If you're getting normal fries just as an appetizer, you're crazy because it comes as a side with, like, every place that you go. But loaded fries, you could put, like, anything on them, all kinds of cheese, or bacon, or buffalo chicken, or like different kinds of stuff. Big fan of the customization on the loaded fries theory. 5, chips and dip. Staple appetizer here, okay? You got guac, you got spinach, you got salsa. That's how I'd probably rank them in that order. So that's how I got it going on there. Pretzels with cheese is 4, because a really good, done, soft, perfectly salted beer cheese combo, elite, brother.
Yes. Pretzels with cheese was a huge miss for me. Not in my top 5. That's absolutely top 5 appetizer.
Mozzarella sticks, number 3.
Yep.
Elite. When done right, the ceiling is the roof. You feel me?
Absolutely. You ain't got to sell me on mozzie sticks, baby. That was three for me, too.
Buffalo wings / boneless wings is number two for me. I'm just such a huge fan. The reason why they're not number one is because in my heart, I know that they're actually a meal. So I didn't want to put them at number one, like at the top of the appetizer chain, because I think it's a little unfair. It's like an EPL team at the top of the table taking on teams that are like in lower divisions. You know what I'm saying?
I don't at all, but sure.
Okay, great. Number one, look, man. I had to do it. It's nachos, because you can put so much on nachos. They're available everywhere. All kinds of different cheese, all kinds of different chicken, brisket, steak, jalapenos, sour cream, barbecue sauce, all kinds of stuff. And when it's done really right, when you get people that even use those like unique chips, that's what I'm about. Customization, high ceiling, all this kinds of stuff. There you go.
See, here's my thing. I knew nachos was eventually coming. Nachos did not make my top five, and I thought about it. There's just too much variance in nachos. Like, if I'm at a place I don't...
I can agree with you, but they're still, man, they're the top. Right. They are the appetizer, if you like, ask me.
Here's what I think. If I go to any restaurant I do not know comfortably well, and they're like, listen, we have nachos as an appetizer, or we have chips with various dips, including queso as an appetizer. Just give me the chips with it. I'll handle it myself. I know the proportions I like. You don't. I don't know what you're giving me out. I'm going to have four chips with 90% of the cheese. This is a problem for me. I get worried.
I hear you, but I'm enough of a man to make sure I still
get it. Yeah, that's a good point. Attack my manhood, because I'm worried about other people creating well-proportioned nachos.
Speaking of people getting their manhood attacked, who is Gerald McCoy signing with? You like how I did that? Because Bruce Arians went after Gerald McCoy's manhood this offseason? Hello. I still think that Gerald is going to sign with Cleveland.
From what I understand, from what like people have been saying, I think that he's locked in on a competitor. And so my guess is Indianapolis.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. They need him.
No, that's fair, I guess. Somebody asked me, better public sub, chicken tender, or buffalo chicken tender? Buffalo chicken tender, come on.
By the way, you could put anything in the beginning of that question. If the option is chicken or buffalo chicken, it's buffalo chicken.
Somebody asked you, did you end up getting the dog?
No, July, first week of July, I go on vacation, and then when I come back, I'm home for two months. Not going anywhere, she's going to get me a little puppers, make them the best puppers that's ever gosh darn been.
Thoughts on the Chiefs defense in 2019? With Soft Bob finally gone and Spags taking the new position staff in place.
Wow, we got nicknames left and right.
Not to mention the turnover of players. Cornerback still a majority concern, but the coverage issues came a lot from linebackers and the safety position last year. What do you think about the Chiefs?
I agree with the assessment that there were coverage issues with the linebackers and the safeties. The implication that is of a bigger concern than the coverage ability of the corners, I take a little bit of umbrage with. And I don't think... You know, the addition
the podcast
of, like,
is umbrage, I guess.
Oh, I love umbrage. Have I said umbrage multiple times?
It's just your second instance, yeah.
It's one of my favorite words. I don't think the addition of a guy like Darren Lee really moves the needle much for me in terms of linebacker coverage ability. Tyrann Mathieu gets me very excited. Juan Thornhill gets me very excited. So I think safeties, we took a step forwards, but man,
yeah.
The corners, I'm too scared. Like, my Chiefs prediction is that against bad offenses, they're very good, and against good offenses, they're really bad.
I think that, better. I think they're going to be better. I just don't know.
Hard to get worse, brother.
They don't need to get that much better. Like we said, like, they were basically a handful of plays, maybe even one play, you could argue, away from the Super Bowl with the offense that they had. So I don't know how much better they need to get. Here we go. Power rank small rodents.
Yeah, okay. So interesting. Here's how the power rankings go. There's 5, 4, 3,
small, sorry,
2.
Sorry. Power rank small rodent pets. Pets.
Right. Which, I mean, technically, if you try hard enough, that's the same list.
We all know the goat rodent is a rat because he took out 1/3 of Europe not too long ago.
Well, okay. I mean, it was the fleas, but that's a great point, Trevor.
But, all right, go on.
Okay. The list goes 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, and then a gigantic gap, and the gap is named Don't Get a Rodent as a Pet, Get Something Cooler as a Pet. And then there's a number one that's the exception.
All right,
so,
let's hear it.
My list in order. 5 is a rat.
No,
get the heck out of here.
We agree.
Rat / mouse, don't even care. 4 is a gerbil, which is just a furrier
get
rat.
Get out!
4 is a gerbil, which is just a furrier rat. 3 is a hamster. 2 is a guinea pig. Then there's the giant gap, and then it's chinchillas.
Yes!
Man, chinchillas are the softest thing that's ever existed. Oh, man. I once went to a pet store. I worked at a Moe's next to a pet store. And I had like a buddy drop me off. I was like 30, 45 minutes early from my shift. So I went into the pet store and they had a chinchilla. And watching this thing is amazing. It is the most inquisitive, cute little nugget that has ever existed. It is a ball of fur, happiness, and joy.
Oh my god, chinchillas are like fat squirrels that are cute.
Exactly. Imagine if squirrels were actually nice.
Yeah, like that's a chinchilla. That's a chinchilla.
It's like a squirrel that was loved as a child. Chinchillas are amazing.
Jake Bentley or Alex Hornibrook?
What, we don't get your list?
Oh, sorry. We basically had the same list. So I had rat 5, guinea pig 4, hamster 3, gerbil 2, chinchilla 1.
Here's the thing about guinea pigs. They're chubby. And any chubby animal, I'll get locked in on right away.
Dude, my sister
I don't want a cat. Go ahead.
My sister had a guinea pig. And so, I would go and visit it. And its name was Nibs.
That's so cute. And listen, any animal that I can walk up to and go,
Full name was Nibbles.
Right.
But
any animal
Nibs.
I can walk up to, I can go, oh, man, that's a whole unit. That's a tank. I like that animal. Gerbils are units.
That is fair. Jake Bentley or Alex Hornibrook?
Oi.
I mean, I guess Hornibrook. Maybe.
I'll take the or. Thank you very much.
Wow, okay. Who is going to give John Runyon more issues this season, Chase Young or AJ Espenza?
Okay, firstly, do you not know who AJ Epenesa is?
Oh, Epenesa. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I just read it weird because I'm dyslexic. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I thought it was. Nope. I did not realize that was Epenesa.
Right. Okay. The take, which could potentially be launched here, which I'm not saying whether or not it is being launched here, but the potential take that AJ Epenesa is currently better than Chase Young would be very incendiary. And if somebody believed there's a chance they would make it during the summer, they would not yet make it at this time because they have not yet watched enough film to really confirm that that's their take. And so for now, Chase Young.
I'm gonna agree. It's Chase Young.
I'll tell you right now, though. Who's going to give John Runyon the most problems? Literally everybody he faces. John Runyon is playing tackle for Michigan because his pops is John Runyon. He's not very good.
Thoughts on J.K. Dobbins? Well, Mitch, we're going to have a lot of thoughts on J.K. Dobbins next week on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Ben, how much Pokemon did you play? I don't even know.
So I caught Pokemon much in like the Generation 2, Generation 3 era.
My God.
Yeah, so I was a little bit behind the ball on red, yellow, silver, like the traditional ones, but like Leaf Green, Fire Red, Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald. That's where I made my
Jesus,
hay.
Jesus, Tony, how young is this kid?
And I made a lot of I played a lot of Pokemon. I played a lot of Pokemon.
Yeah, but you didn't play the OG ones, and that's what. I mean, I wish for you that you could have played the OG ones when we were all.
I mean, I did eventually. But
yeah, but that doesn't count. It's not the same thing.
Right, exactly. Like, I didn't grow up.
All right, so he asked, all right, hold on. Brad asked, are we still doing Pokemon questions? Yes, Brad, we are. Favorite starters from the first three generations?
Okay.
So you got, Charmander, Squirtle, Bulbasaur, Cyndaquil, yes. Totodile, Chikorita, Torchic, Mudkip, and Treecko.
I'm really impressed that you just pulled those 9. That was awesome.
I read it from the question.
Oh, dang
it. I could have given you the first 6, rattled them off immediately.
And it's funny because I would have had the last 3 because that's the one that I grew up with there.
Christ.
So fire-wise, Cyndaquil. Yes. Water-wise, definitely Mudkip.
No.
And then Bulbasaur would be for grass.
Cyndaquil, Squirtle, Bulbasaur.
I respect it. Mudkip to Swampert was my evolution.
No, I can't. Okay, so Charmander has the cooler family, and especially Charizard being the final one, but Cyntaquil is such a cool name.
Yeah. Listen, and also I'll never forget when I realized that Cyndaquil was basically a porcupine on fire. And I was shoot, man. Obviously dragons are lit, but imagine a porcupine on fire. Like, I'm locked in, baby. Like, when I learned that most Pokemon were based generally off of actual animals, it changed the games for me.
If you could name a QB, what would their name be, knowing they will affect their career trajectory?
Wow. There's so many layers to this question.
So I got, because I think this one was asked last week or something like it. So I did write ones down.
Okay.
Gunnar Jones the third, the best dude name I got.
Yeah, I mean, that's like that guy is getting multiple Pro Bowls.
Or like alternatively, for dudes, Maverick and Braden, as like first names. I feel like those dudes are people I wouldn't want to hang out with, but would be really good quarterbacks.
Right. I rock with Maverick in a big way.
Yeah.
Maverick Braden,
would be
I'm not,
a hell of a
yeah.
hell of a quarterback name.
Right. Now, if we're saying like parameters are, listen, the name of this quarterback will ensure that despite an agnostic of actual on-field talent, he's treated as an NFL quarterback, then I'd go with like Daniel.
Okay.
Jones. Maybe last name Jones.
Jesus H.
But that happened. Are you familiar with the starting quarterback for Liberty, the Liberty Flames there, Trevor?
No.
First name Buckshot, last name Calvert.
Oh, Buckshot, wow. Calvert. I mean, now, Rocky Lombardi is basically the greatest quarterback name I've ever heard in my life, and that's an actual dude, so.
Right. Now, Buckshot, I think, I'm pretty sure it's a nickname, but he's, like, I think it's, like, Riley or something like that, but Buckshot Calvert.
Very true.
They're, like, I do not care what his game is like. I need him to make one of the All-Star Circuit games so I can meet him, so I can go, question for you, Buckshot, and then I can laugh and not say anything else.
I also, while I was thinking about this, I was thinking about girl names and what, like, badass quarterback names I could come up with for, like, a girl. And the first name Harper is a good one, so I came up, like, if a girl was named Harper Jackson, I would think that she'd be a really good quarterback. And then my favorite one is Addison Taylor. Like, if there was a girl named Addison Taylor playing football, I'm drafting you first round off name alone. Don't care.
It's funny because, like, right now, all I'm doing is I'm going through, because, like I said, the Women's College World Series is right now. So I'm going through all the athletes that are playing in this now and thinking of who have the best quarterback names. Samantha Shaw is definitely one.
That's a good one. That's a really good name. Yep.
Yeah,
athlete
Samantha.
Name.
And okay, Samantha Shaw, fun fact, 15 seconds. Oklahoma State pitcher and hitter. And most pitchers obviously don't hit well. She hits home runs. She bat flips. She one of the first bat flips of all of college softball she hit this year against Oregon. People were upset and it was hilarious. So anybody who's willing to bat flip
all for
in
it.
Softball.
You a badass.
Gonna be a gosh darn good quarterback. Shout out. Samantha Shaw, by the way, hit a top of the first inning home run against Kelly Barnhill. Who does Kelly Barnhill pitch for again, Trevor?
All right, rank the top juices.
Florida
is
Gators.
The next question.
All right, I feel passionately about this because I drink juice because I'm 12, and obviously I get made fun of on that for
does
staff.
Does lemonade
but...
count?
No. Shoot, yo, no way, no way. Shouts went yard again. I can't believe it. It is the top of the sixth inning. Shouts hit another solo home run against Barnhill. It's 2-1.
Damn.
This is so cool. Okay, sorry.
Focus in.
Lemonade is not a juice. You add too much sugar to it.
Listen,
but you
I,
add sugar
I
to
looked
a lot of
this
other
up, and people were saying that like lemonade was a juice, so I didn't know where to put it. But I
she
didn't even...
She spiked the bat! She spiked it! Okay, go ahead.
I didn't even hit the... I didn't even have it in my ranking. So, go. Juices. You're a juice expert.
All right,
and
bottom...
I'm gonna roast you for this.
Fifth overall, by a mile, by a country mile, is orange juice. Because orange juice was invented by Satan to punish people for eating breakfast. Then
God,
four,
you're an idiot.
Yeah, okay. Four is grapefruit juice.
Oh, third, my God!
Third is apple juice.
What?
Second is grape juice. And by a mile, first is cranberry juice. Love cranberry juice. Suck it.
Gee, oh, my Lord. That's
Imagine
terrible, dude.
Voluntarily drinking orange juice.
Holy smokes. I got 10. Cucumber juice is 10. Just cause
what, you have 10?
It's
There's
the worst.
10 juices?
I got melon and honeydew and watermelon in the next like 2, 3, whatever.
Those aren't real.
Because they're terrible. No, I'm just listing the terrible ones because I looked up potential juices and so like I'm just ranking them. Carrot juice is 7. Pass. Tomato juice is 6, pass.
Carrot juice is awful.
Grapefruit juice is 5. Apple juice is 4. Orange juice is 3. And then pineapple juice is 2. And then, like, I have lemonade 1. But, I mean, if lemonade's not a juice, then it doesn't really matter. So.
It's not. I mean, like, it is.
There was a giant
is.
Debate on Twitter of people talking about how apple juice is better than orange juice. And, like, I don't understand how people above the age of 12 have the opinion that apple juice is better than orange juice.
I don't know why people above the age of 12 drinking orange juice. You have free will.
Dude, orange juice is fine.
citrus, all citrus. I hate oranges, clementines. Get that the heck
what?
Out of here.
What? Okay, your opinion is just null and effing void. Holy cow. You what hate all citrus?
Lemons, never, limes. I like limes and
come,
water.
Never step 1 foot in my state.
You know what I love? Ever. Oh, I love that. Oh, sour is great. Nothing tastes better than sour. That's awesome. Idiots.
Don't you like pickles?
Yeah. Pickles are tasty.
All right, Mount Rushmore of NFL players. This is the last question we're doing.
All right. Is this – so I have two separate ones.
I do as well.
Yeah, so is this – like, just players that we, like, enjoy, players that we love, or is this, like, just, like, the best players who ever played?
So, like, I have two lists. One is clearly what would be, like, the most accomplished players, and it's Tom Brady, Reggie White, Jerry Rice, Walter Payton. Like, those would be...
Oh, wow, three of my four.
Those would be the ones who, if I'm answering this seriously, it's probably those four. And then if I'm doing this based off of either players that I thought really changed the game or players that were truly once in almost like a lifetime just like specimens or athletes, I would go Michael Vick, Calvin Johnson, Deion Sanders, Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, two of mine as well. So yeah. So like, all right. So my four for like probably the best players who ever played in the game, right, are Brady, Lawrence Taylor, Jerry Rice, Walter Payton. So okay. Right, so you had three of those four for me. And then the players who I enjoy the most, the players who, like, I don't know, when I think of, like, just, like, the players who I grew up watching, who I like, loved and, like, meant the world to me, it's Michael Vick, Ed Reed, Deion Sanders, and then Tony Gonzalez. I was the hugest Tony Gonzalez fan.
Didn't
I was the hugest Tony. Yeah, because, I mean, like, when he was, like, he basically, like, he changed the tight end position while I was getting into football. There was, like, him and Antonio Gates just, like, being the biggest aberrations of the face of the planet. And Gonzalez is a super likable dude. And so I will die standing for Tony Gonzalez. I love the player.
All right. Okay. There it is. Fan Friday. A wrap. Done. Kaput. We'll never do one again. Until next Friday. But before then, we're going to do all of our running back rankings next week during our summer scouting series. We're going to be, dude, this running back class is good. This running back class yes. is good.
We're gonna need to watch 80 players over the next week.
I honestly might like rank like 20 dudes for what we're gonna do next week. It's gonna be a lot of fun. It's an incredible class that's coming up. We're gonna get into all that next week. And until then, you guys keep it locked right here on the Locked On NFL Draft.